The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M Footy.
And doesn't he love it?
I just want to say I've got a pretty good feeling about this.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Farine Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome along to Friday Night Football. Triple M rocking it as usual. The Giants taking on the Western Bulldogs. Always a lot of interest in this one. We have got all sorts lined up, a lot to get through. We've got guests galore, including Darst, with what is going to be a quite extraordinary interview with Rowan Smith, the likes of which you have never heard before.
That's what I do, Howie. I bring big guests to the table and I go places that other people won't go. And I will tonight again.
I'm looking forward to that. Plenty more guests to come. We'll get to later on in the show. Chiefs got everything required. Nathan is bringing the top five. The boys are all here. But before we get into our usual frivolity demo, we need to get some serious news out of the way of what's happening in West Australia.
We do, because the Perth and Peel regions of WA have been placed into a three-day lockdown as of midnight tonight due to, Brownie, two cases of community transition of COVID-19. Now, the effect on the AFL is this. Saturday night's Fremantle-North Melbourne game at Optus Stadium will go ahead without a crowd, and that's in contrast to the 100% capacity that was in play for the Collingwood West Coast game only last round. So, no crowd tomorrow night for Fremantle North Melbourne, but game will go ahead. West Coast is in Melbourne for this Geelong match tomorrow at GMHBA Stadium. That game will go ahead with full crowd. The AFL will make decisions on the travel of North Melbourne back from Perth at some stage of the next 24 hours, as they will with the West Coast team needing to get back to Perth after that Geelong game tomorrow night. The travel arrangements for those two teams to be determined by the AFL inside the next 24 hours. But just repeating, three-day lockdown in the Perth and Peel regions of WA, Howie, as a result of community transition of COVID-19. Here we go again with the effect on AFL.
All right, thanks, Damo. We'll speak about that throughout the rest of the show. A couple more guests still to come your way as well. In 25 minutes' time, Shane Burst to join us with quite an extraordinary story, as well as 7:05 Geelong legend and now heavily involved in the game, Stevie Johnson to join us. So a lot to get through.
A lot to get through.
And it was really positive last week, and I expect more of the same
absolutely
tonight.
Absolutely. A couple of things that we need to deal with off the top badge. Couple of things that have been brought to my attention.
Oh, yes.
As a values-based show here, the Friday Huddle, and we are very big on values, when one of your team members doesn't live up to those values, Chief, ooh, it's incumbent on the team to address them. And unfortunately, yes, Nate, the Friday Huddle has a recidivist. So for your benefit, a recidivist is a repeat offender, in case that went over your head.
Very good.
Mark Howard,
I'll let you get away with
is
that
a recidivist. Phew.
And I've copped it the last 3 weeks in a row.
I think it's time to move on. For that reason alone,
thing,
you keep coming back our way. So we know
this
that you've had an unfortunate incident at the Chinese restaurant in Sydney, which was an issue.
There was a Korean and there was no incident.
The incident in the lift.
I need to listen to this.
You stood on the table and stomped out and refused to pay.
The fat shaming incident, which is a real issue and been problem going forward. We know about him digitally altering his voice at Fox Footy because he wants to be more manly working with people like you, Chief.
The Brown, the Prince,
that's another issue that we know that his ego is a runaway train out of control. We've done our best to bring that into
he's
line.
He's a name dropper.
Extraordinary levels of name dropping. But last week, when a second phone was handed to him, I couldn't believe it. Have a listen. The Sunday edition of Triple M Footy had a bit of a go at it as well. Have a listen to this.
Mark Howard rolling with two phones.
Oh, he's up to no good.
This is a word of experience.
There's only two reasons why you have two phones.
There's only one man here that can really comment on that.
Both are no good.
So, Chief, you were onto this. The man with two phones.
It's disturbing, Duke. It is.
There's only a couple of reasons, isn't there?
Well, look, one, it's a burn phone because he's dealing drugs and he doesn't want any of that to be tracked by police.
Or he wouldn't be doing that, Chief.
Or two, it's for the second family.
No, he wouldn't be doing that.
Well, they're both options, live options.
And given he is a bit of a beach hippie type, he could be doing either.
Well, no, we're not ruling any of that out. Given, as I said, values-based program here the Friday.
Howie's kick-up was, there's no second family.
Definitely not.
He didn't mention anything about the drugs. He said there's no second family.
I wonder why he looks so anemic. He's starting to scratch himself. So Howie's explanations is I've got the Howie hotline. It's called the Howie hotline. Yes. So I'd never heard of, self-titled Howie hotline. Yeah. Now, we have actually gone back they have got a couple of calls that were made to the Howie hotline. Leroy?
What sort of tool have you turned into, Howie? You've become a self-promoting egomaniacal knob. Such a wanker. You're completely out of touch with reality. It was the people who got you where you are, and now you just treat them with contempt. You're actually taking the piss, dickhead. I wouldn't give you the steam off my shit. Wake up to yourself, you flog. P.S. Chief is awesome.
I believe that,
who was that just?
Came from Jason. Jason from the CBD. I think we might have forgotten the beep. There, we might have played the wrong button there.
It has to be vetted before it goes to air.
You've got
to
beep it, Duke.
I might have played the wrong group. So that was Jason from the CBD. We got also got this call come through to the Howie hotline.
Howard, it's Chris from Brighton. I just ring to let you know that I've stuck with you through thick and thin. I stuck with you through the Two Blues scandal. I stuck with you with the Dyson Heppel incident. I even stuck with you when you forced Fox to put on voice-altering technology so you sound like you had a deeper voice. But this Howie hotline is too much, and I'm off. You're way ahead of yourself. Too much. I'm out.
So Chris from Brighton's deserted. Now, I'd encourage people who are out there, call the Howie hotline, leave some feedback. We can't control him. He's out of control. So if the Triple M family listening to the Friday Huddle, the many thousands, how do you call the Howie hotline?
Can I just explain what the
and
hotline is?
And just as importantly, what is it for? Is it so people can talk to you, Howie?
So what happens? The world-renowned Howie Games podcast. It's an offshoot, Chief, where people internationally want to get involved and ask questions about podcasting, sport, etc. They send it in to Howie Hotline.
I ask you a simple question. How do you call the Howie Hotline?
Well, you can call on the number or you can WhatsApp, record a message and send it in. Now, the number. Do you want to know?
Call the number.
No, because it's a positive experience and I don't want negativity.
We're
on
not
the
saying
Howie
that.
Hotline.
Just give some
you
feedback.
You can't have all positives
on the
all
Howie
time.
Hotline.
So the actual number
negatives in.
Is 0434.
You're giving the real number.
The number is 0434 69401. Now,
tee off on that, please.
Now, that number is actually, Chief, you like this. If you with the old, it's actually 04 Howie.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
See what we're dealing
with. Oh, no.
So I want you to inundate that number.
Howard's lost the plot.
Give us a call, Chief.
This is what we're dealing with. Please, can you give him some feedback? See if you can help him out there, the Friday Huddle family.
Positive.
And sort that out.
Ask questions. The whole crew here as we lead up to the Giants and the Western Bulldogs.
You want to call the Howie hotline. 0434 694301. Or I'm told 04 Howie is how it works.
04 Howie 01.
04 Howie 01. Leave me a message. Leave me a bit of feedback. Yep. I just got a message from Google. They have had an amazing amount of people Google that last segment. There's a bit of sort of crickets going on in our studio on the back of it, but a lot of traffic flowing
It's over
through.
To me now, so I'm going to get us back on track.
Oh,
and we've been speaking about Howard and the issues.
Is this
the
list?
The issues there, but this is before the list. This is a little bit of audio that we've always been talking about how we need to bring Howard back to a level playing field. Well, last Sunday, I think we did. Have a listen to this.
Some audio came to light this week, Clarkie, as you're well aware of Sam Mitchell. I reckon he was mic'd up in Box Hill Hawks, might have been their last practice game, and he was calm, he was controlled.
Yeah, we want to play the high side, mate. Let's get the ball to this side.
We were not tough in that quarter. Now, we weren't attacking either, and I'll hand up, because we couldn't attack into the breeze. So in the last quarter, we'll deal with that, and we'll find a way to attack.
We want to continue to score this quarter, but it's going to come down to two things. Toughness and leadership.
That's Sam Mitchell. I'm sure it wasn't put out for that reason, but did wonderful things for his brand, Clarkie. People were talking him up after hearing it. He's one of the more remarkable people I've met in football, but it made you had a few things.
So you found all of that remarkable?
I thought it was really interesting, Duck. I thought the way he was calm, the way he handled himself.
I admit it was calm.
Well, I thought it showed him in a light we haven't seen him before. We've seen him as a player. We haven't heard him as a coach. I just think it...
So far, you've said nothing that's remarkable.
Well, can you just let me finish, Duck? Yeah. I think it showed Sam in a light we haven't seen him before, and people started talking about him as a potential senior coach off the back of it.
Probably if you had your time again, you'd probably drop remarkable.
I don't think so, Ross.
So that was Ross Lyon with the great line at the end, Howard. It was a remarkable performance by Sam Mitchell.
So you're just, in your segment, you're just going over other bits of audio that you thought were funny
that's
during the week
and best,
put them in.
As it turns out, yes.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, I went with all my own thoughts and it didn't work out that well, so right. I'll bring audio.
Well, I didn't know we were rolling with the highlights of the Triple M football for the week, but apparently it is time for...
The Friday Huddle.
Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5.
Yeah, hang on, just before we get to it, you thought that was amusing last week, so you thought you'd just wedge it into Friday night show, did you?
Yes, I appreciated it. Wedge anything entertaining in on Friday night. That was pretty funny, actually.
What did you think, Chief? Chief still hasn't spoken since the first segment.
There's a bit of Twilight Zone going on tonight. I'm not quite sure where we're at.
Okay. We did last year, and we did the top five lookalikes, Chief, and you weren't here, so I'll just bring you up to speed with some of the top five lookalikes that we did last year, and it came with number one was Howie looked like Ellen DeGeneres. He's up and about.
Oh, Chief likes that.
That's good. That is good.
Now you're starting to review last year.
That was like last week. Hey,
don't interrupt
him. And then you've gone to 2020.
If he gets a laugh, do not interrupt
him. He's on a roll next stage.
And he's definitely noticed how he looks like Ellen DeGeneres.
I love that. Also, this is not funny. We brought up last year the fact that
another highlights package.
Beavis and Butthead. There was one of the boys out of that. Remember that cartoon from the 90s?
I do.
That looked like Bailey Fritch. Well, we've got some feedback because I've sent it out to the listeners. So I've put this back on the Triple M listeners and I've asked them all to come in with some lookalikes. And one of them has come back with the other one, Beavis, looking like the Duke. So I've got the guy there on the right. So somebody thinks that looks like you,
a little bit
Duke.
Like
so
me.
That's an honourable mention there.
Yeah, more Tom Brady.
Okay, the Tom Brady one. Okay. So the first in the top five.
I think it was better when you were going with the highlight stuff. I think your original stuff just doesn't work.
Have you got any more audio, Nate? Quickly, play someone else's funny graph.
Rap, Nate. I could go straight to number one if you want me to.
Now build it up here.
Okay, let's go.
Build it up.
Number five. Now this comes from @Jono_77, and he thinks that Matthew Richardson looks a lot like Alanis Morissette. So there it is there. We're going to put all these lookalikes
There's a little bit there. There's a little bit there, yeah.
But that's number five. There's a lot that I couldn't go with. There's a lot that I've asked Snorkel about that he said you can't go with because there's a few issues surrounding it. So probably shouldn't have gone to that first segment before. But let's get into number four. And Sam McClure is a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, but he's always been rolling with this red hair and this high hair. And
because he's a redhead. If,
what else can he roll with?
What is this?
How it works.
Have you ever seen the movie The Incredibles? There's a young man called The Syndrome in that, and he's got very high red hair, the same as
it's a very visual segment, this one, but yes.
You're on radio, Brian.
His segment didn't work a year ago.
I know, mate.
But he's showing us pictures. People are in their cars listening going, I can't see the picture.
This is what we told him.
Showing pictures.
He's holding them up. He printed the box through.
He doesn't realise that radio is only
How do we find them?
And then I got one from @DexolationDog, and he seemed to think that Jacob Wittering looked a lot like Pee Wee Herman. There's the photo there. So Pee Wee Herman, a great actor from the 80s. The second one is, Nate, this is not good. This came from @HarryPirelli, and he thinks that Dean Brogan looked like the two mascots that he played for. So the Port Adelaide Power mascot. I'm losing my way here, but let's get to number one. Let's get to number one. Because the number one that came back, it was 57% of the vote, Chief.
Yep.
Our new breakfast host of a morning here at Triple M, Marty Sheargold, 57% of the vote come back that he looks like you.
Does he?
What and
does
that
he
is the number one.
Have you got a photo?
I do have a
just
photo
so all the
here.
People listening can have a look at it.
Marty Sheargold looks like the Chief.
Marty Sheargold looks like the Chief. There he is there.
He actually does.
Well, there's a bit there. He's got a bit of Michael Stipe in him too.
Yes.
So Marty was good enough.
Bit of crazy man.
Because I was a bit unsure about how he'd take that or how the Chief would take that. So I asked Marty what he thought about being compared to the Chief.
Look, it's a little hurtful, I'm not going to lie. I feel like the Chief has a much bigger head than me. He looks like he's got a giant head. I feel like I've got a normal-sized head. No hair, so tick with the Chief on that front. And I don't have a flavour saver, which the Chief is still holding on to. Years after it was ever fashionable, and even longer than Shannon Knoll.
I'm not sure there's anything.
A lot better.
I'm not sure there's anything normal about Marty Sheargold. Flavor saver, I've got a beard the same as him. What a tool bag. Have a look at him. If he's not wanted for something, I'll go here. I mean, if there aren't wanted posters somewhere around with Marty Sheargold's face on, I will go here.
Teammate of ours, too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Where's he work?
Triple M.
He took Darcy's job. It's okay.
That was awkward.
Took over from sort of, you know.
Well, I'm warming to him then.
Is that it?
That's it, Howard.
There's no more highlight.
Can everyone see them on
Triple M Footy? Should I bring in photos of my last holiday just so we can all talk about it?
They're going to be uploaded on Triple M Footy.
At Triple M Footy, all the social media channels does. People can, if they choose to, see what Brady was just talking about.
I'd encourage you to do that, Damo. Good to hear from you.
Can I just say, Darcy, I thought in 5 years the first segment we did was the worst one we've ever put in here. Well, it's now the second worst because that was abysmal, Chief. What's that, mate? It didn't work in 2020. It wasn't going to work in 2021.
It's the genius
in
It takes a lot of skill to pull off a visual gimmick on radio. I'm not sure we have that skill.
I thought it worked, Bernie.
Worst things come out of Triple M in a long year. We'll take a break. Just got a bit of listener feedback on Nate's last segment.
A bit of feedback coming our way, not all of it positive. SplashTaz23 says, that segment was the worst I've ever heard in radio history. Do not do lookalikes ever again on radio.
You blokes are still laughing, though, aren't you? People were talking about it.
Was Splash Taz talking about the first segment we did or the second segment?
I think the whole Friday has had what with golfing terms of mulligan.
Well,
you'd like to take one
in T20 terms. We've just got through the power play and we're 6 for 15, I reckon. But there's still 14 overs to go. Now, Damo, you brought us some news at the start. Just for those that are joining us for the first time, and hopefully that's the majority of the audience joining us for the first time, Chief. Tell us what's happening in the West, and there's updates as we go to air right now.
Yeah, as it stands, Howie, it is quite worrying. From a wider perspective, but obviously AFL specifically, the Perth and Peel regions of WA have put into a 3-day lockdown as of midnight tonight on the back of a community case or two cases of community transition of COVID-19 in Perth itself. So what that means for the AFL, the Fremantle-North Melbourne game tomorrow night at Optus Stadium will go ahead without a crowd. And that's only 1 week after there was 100% of crowd allowed, a 54,000 crowd for the West Coast Collingwood game in the previous round. So tomorrow night, Fremantle-North Melbourne will go ahead without a crowd. West Coast is in Melbourne to play Geelong tomorrow at GMHBA Stadium. That game will go ahead with a full crowd capacity to attend. And the AFL will make decisions on the travel plans for North to return from Perth to Melbourne and for the Eagles to return to Perth from Melbourne at some stage of the next 24 hours. And obviously, at this stage, they're in a holding pattern. Matches are scheduled, as we know, all the way through until round 10 now. But given what could happen if this lockdown is extended in Perth, and if it does affect other parts of the country, the AFL will have to revert to what it did last year at some stage.
And this came from hotel quarantine?
Hotel quarantine of a person who came through in Perth and then had contact with someone else who has had the transmission of COVID-19 in Perth.
An extraordinary update, Damos, and to two people enough to shut down an entire state is
very quickly
stunning.
On that, Chief, the Northern Territory experience, am I right to say, without giving away state secrets, that you spent some time in the Northern Territory?
I quarantined in Darwin, for 2 weeks.
Is it Howard Springs? So that seems to be the gold standard. That's what people are wanting as far as quarantine. What was the experience like for you?
But it was effectively a mining settlement. So you're
it's
in
not in the
cabins.
City?
You're in, no, it's not right. In the city. Just on the outskirts.
But they haven't had any problems there, have they? So they were talking about setting up one in Avalon, in regional Victoria, that hasn't gone ahead.
That was one of the ideas that was promulgated, but it makes sense, doesn't it? You've got even down at Puckapunyul or some opportunities that wouldn't, you know, have people in a hotel room with the windows closed, maybe a better option. But anyway, we're building up to a big game tonight in Canberra. It's the Bulldogs and the GWS Giants. Bit of history between these two clubs. And on a Friday, we'd like to catch up with greats, cult heroes. Rowan Smith interview coming up shortly. But this is one of my favourite teammates ever, Shane Burse. Did you play with Bursey, Nate?
Certainly did play with Bursey, Jim.
Bursey joins us. Boy from Sale, 71 AFL games and a ripper. Welcome, Bursey.
Yo, boys. How are we?
Been a long time since I had the opportunity to speak to you, Bursey. Now, you would imagine I'm ringing you about one particular story. In you got an idea where we might be heading, Bursey?
Yeah, mate. Look, Darcy, it would have been nice to speak to you boys on better terms. I don't think you have to bring up these memories, do you?
The WhatsApp came out and said, who do you want to speak to? I said, I want to speak to Shane Burse. I haven't spoken to Burse. It was a ripper chief, a great person, but he's famous for probably one of the most memorable things that ever happened in my time at the Bulldogs. Nate, would you agree?
Look, it wasn't the best moment of my footy career, that's for sure. But unfortunately, Darcy, I can't, I can't deny this story.
All right. Now, I'm going to go with a bit of it, and you can fill in the gaps. But, Chief, we used to have in those days, you'd raise money for the end-of-season trip, as you would have done many times. It was a big thing, Howie, to get fundraisers done. And we had a night that wouldn't be approved these days. It was a manpower night, and we could raise up to $70,000, $80,000 at this function.
And it went all to the players?
We went to the players' trip, Damon. If you're on the committee, you might have been flown at the front of the plane, depending on how well-organised you were. But these functions were notorious for players getting excited about the opportunity that was going to come. Now, in preparation for this Manpower Night, Chief, because it's a night where the players used to get their gear off, Bursey, ahead of it was on a Saturday night, Friday night footy, Bursey. What did you choose to do? We're playing, I think, Collingwood at the MCG. What did you choose to do in preparation for Manpower Night?
Mate, I was we're playing Hawthorn at the G. And, on the Friday, you always look a little bit fitter when you've got a nice tan. So at the time, I was actually living in South Melbourne, and my wife's housemate was she called herself a beautician. I'm not sure how the result, if she could claim that. But I thought a spray tan would go quite well, Darth.
And how did that spray tan go, Bursey?
Probably drastically wrong. Probably put it fair. I think it turned out a little bit orange, didn't it?
He was glowing.
He walked into the rooms Friday night for the MCG, and it took your breath away. You went,
"It looked radioactive."
Oh my god! But so clearly, Bursey has had said spray tan, looking like an Oompa Loompa from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And then, Bursey, you decided to try and salvage it, and you got hold of a loofah, and it looked like you then had some horrific skin condition. Would that be fair to say? Because it was parts.
I think I went through about three or four scrubbing brushes on that that afternoon. I'm like, how am I going to get rid of this? And I reckon we'll fair sniff that day. And then as I rocked up, I think I put the boy's mind off the game a little bit.
I'll never forget that Peter Rowe was our coach at the time. The look on his face was, and I'm thinking, for Bursey to come out of this, even anything like even, to be okay and his career to progress, probably got to have 50 possessions and kick 9.
How'd you go that day, Bursey?
How'd you play, Bursey?
Well, in those days, so I might have, as the match report might come out, but I might have got 50 if I spent some time on the ground, Darth. But I was too busy picking the splinters out of my bum. So, I didn't have a great day. Didn't have a great weekend, to be honest.
Fair to say we got belted by Hawthorn that Friday night, Chief. And then Peter wrote after, I've never seen a more horrified man. He gets the pre-game speech, Bears, you remember him? He's got everyone. Now, we get belted by it. So this night's on that's about. So first thing is, I'm cancelling Manpower Night. It's gone. That's it. It's not happening. And then he turns around and he says, it's Shane Bears, you turned up. And you're a carrot. the just dismay in his voice, Percy, I'll never, ever forget. And you're sitting front and centre, bright orange, mate. It was an extraordinary spray your way.
Yeah, mate, it was definitely one I'd like to forget. But for some reason, all you boys just keep wanting to bring it up. And, I don't know about that. I reckon at least 10 years on, 15 years on, we've got to put it to bed, don't we?
Hey, Shane, did you get any feedback from your opponents on the day?
Oh, not so much the opponents. I remember we were warming up and I got down, we were warming up at the Hawthorn cheer squad end, and I got down the end there and I was getting called Goldie and all these qualities. And, mate, I was, if I wasn't, if I hadn't lost my confidence, I definitely did by then, that's for sure. it wasn't a great moment, that's for sure. I remember we had a 6 o'clock session the next morning, and I'd lived in South Melbourne, as I said, and I went to jump on the Westgate was closed, I was late to the meeting, and the boys were out running 400s, and look, I wasn't the favourite teammate, that's for sure, that weekend.
And Shane, just before we let you go, what are you up to these days? Are you back in the valley or not?
No, I'm in the sunny coast at the moment. Oh. Moved up here in December. Spent eight, nine years in Adelaide, playing at West Adelaide, and then decided to make the move up the sunny coast. So
sunny coast.
Family up here. Yeah, just bought a house in Maroochydore and doing some renovations and stuff like that. So it's keeping me busy.
You'd have a good tan up there.
Oh, mate, don't need the spray tan, that's for sure. Got the top off working and just natural these days, mate.
The end part.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world.
It is a beautiful part of the world. But the 6 a.m. training was called as a result of the disgust at the coach. And so Bursey, as you pointed out, actually turned up late for that on the back of turning up like a carrot, and everyone had to write their own match report around how they went. Now, Scotty West, I think on that day, actually did have 50 and kick four, and he stood up and said, in light of events, you know, I give myself a 5 out of 10. And
you had to rate yourself out of 10 as well.
So right? That was the sort of, so Bursi, who's turned up orange, turned up late then for the punishment session, stands up and says, 7 out of 10.
Then, lack of opportunity.
Due to lack of opportunities. We're going, Bursi, no, cut it off, Bursi.
I'll never say 30 blokes heads drop so quickly.
Mate, great to catch up with you, Bursi. You're an absolute ripper. We loved playing with you and good to hear. Life is good on the sunny coast, mate. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, hope you're well, boys. Thanks.
Good on you, Bursi. Good on you, Bursi.
Just out of interest, what did you rate yourself, Duke?
Oh, I had an ordinary run. I was a 9, I think, Chief.
What about you, Noodles? Was that when you were the best player in the comp or not?
It was after that, Howard. Right. I can't remember, to be honest. But it wasn't a great day. But good story, Duke. Well done.
All this footy making you hungry. Dig into Macca's new 100% Aussie chicken burgers like the Serious Saucy Palmy Burger or the Fire McSpicy Burger. So hot it will bring tears to your eyes. Get them as part of your Friday night footy feed at Macca's. We're leading up to the Giants and the Western Bulldogs. Just before we get to beat the Chief, you just told me in the ad break, Nate, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I said, mate, I can't wait to call Anzac Day with you. And you delivered me some very disturbing news.
I'm doing Saturday's game, doing Carlton, Brisbane, Ewan Ramsey. There's a couple of runarounds and they're trying to accommodate Duke doing something. So Duke's doing Sunday.
But Anzac Day, apart from Grand Final Day, for mine, is the best day on the footy calendar. You've done Triple M football on a Sunday for the last year and a half, haven't missed a game, and now all of a sudden Anzac Day comes along and you're not on the roster.
How can Duke just shaft you?
Well, I don't know. He has to call the grand final in his contract, so maybe he's added that to his contract this year.
Yeah, that is part of his contract.
Nah, here's the contract.
What's happened is management have decided that they need to wheel in the big guy.
Oh, no. Sounding a lot like Howie.
Actually, I'll pull right back. You're going to compare me down. I was just called and saying, are you able to do Sunday?
But, Nath, you were available for Sunday.
You and asked me, and I'm just a team player, Howie, so I'm going to do Saturday.
Okay. Did you ring Brownie after white-handing him?
I actually didn't understand I think Brian's
involved as well somewhere.
Oh, of course Brian's involved somewhere.
It's a three-way turnaround
so
somewhere.
So instead of doing Anzac Day at the MCG, the great game it is, what game are you doing?
Carlton and Brisbane, blockbuster.
Good game.
Right.
Mm. Good game.
Okay, is that in Brisbane?
No, it's at Marvel Stadium.
Okay, right.
There's all sorts of movements on the media front, Howie, when it comes to calling and who calls what for whom. I've still got a couple of jigsaw pieces to put into the overall 1,000-piece upright set. Thank you, Bernie. Yeah. And Bill Brownless has also done some heavy lifting on this, and we are going to attempt to reveal all tomorrow on the
Hang on. You're bringing something up on Friday night that you're not prepared to go with to promote your little show tomorrow.
And as I do as a journalist, I will not go with anything until I can be comfortable, I can prove it. And I'm not yet at that stage.
Oh, so you're going to get that proof overnight,
I am awaiting a phone call tonight or tomorrow morning before I go to where I'm
He's holding out on us, Chief.
I'm sure he is.
It's not great, Warrior.
No, I would not hold out on us. I just can't go with it just yet. And Billy's done as much heavy lifting on this as I have, and we just need to reconvene tomorrow morning.
So who's the phone call you're waiting for?
That I can't say, and I never would, but it's someone I trust who will give me all the information I need, and it involves people in this room. It involves people at other people at Triple M. It involves people at Channel 7. It involves people at Foxtel. So it's
Channel 7, that's Lewis Martin's territory.
Well, he's head of Channel 7, yes.
Right, so is that whose phone call you're waiting on or not?
I would doubt he'd be speaking to me, Howie, but we can get information without speaking to
All right, it is time now for...
It's time to test your knowledge against footy's greatest musical mind.
Get on with it, love.
This is Beat the Chief.
Six rounds in, our man, the most anyone's got off him is 3 questions out of 10.
That's
he's decimated the opposition. Yeah, we had to handicap him. So basically we will name a song and the Chief versus the guest that's rung in will name the band as quickly as they can. Dan is trying to take on the Chief tonight from Rye. Good evening, Dan. How are you going?
Good evening, fellas. Yeah, very good, thank you. Happy to be here.
What do you like on power ballads, which is what we're going with tonight, Dan?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm 45 years old, sort of a solid music listener over the years, but nothing too modern.
Hey, Dan, have you heard the Chief's form in recent weeks? Have you know what you're up against?
No, I don't know what I'm up against, but I'm just happy to be one out with the Chief.
Okay, and your buzzer tonight, Dan, what are you going to go with?
I'll just go my name, Dan.
Okay, Dan and Chief, welcome
along. I'll just
along.
Go with Chief, Howie.
Just Chief tonight. Just Chief. Just Chief. All right.
Yeah, not feeling great tonight.
No, he's a bit off his game tonight, Chief.
Yeah, I think I might get bowled over here.
All right, here we go. Number one, Dan versus Chief. I'll name the song, the power ballad. First in on the buzzer to name the band. I don't want to miss a thing.
Chief.
Yes.
Aerosmith.
Oh, he's just back. It's all right, Dan. You got nine left. Don't worry. The second one, every rose has its...
Yes. Dan.
Poison.
Yep. Good try, though, Dan. Good try. Every rose has its thorn. We'll get to you in a moment, Dan.
This might be your best category, Chief.
Yeah, no. He's very good at this.
Try to play
song
it, Dan.
Number three, Patience.
Chief.
Yes.
Guns N' Roses.
It's not set up. Chief doesn't get it beforehand. Dan, you came in confident. How are you feeling at this stage?
Yeah, a little bit shaky. But let's have a go.
Can we hear your buzzer, Dan, just to make sure it's working, please?
Dan.
There we go. Okay.
Give him one for that, I reckon.
Song number four. A tougher one now. I want to know what love is.
Chief.
Yes.
Dan.
Foreigner.
Yes. Dan, what are we going to go with?
Yeah, I'm going
to
go as Foreigner.
Okay, we still don't get a point, unfortunately. Number five, here you go. You need this to stay in the competition. Our man's a freak. He is a freak at this.
He's extraordinary.
Here we go. The Flame.
Chief.
Yep.
How are you?
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick.
What's your score at the moment?
5-0. It is. Now, people are suggesting that we've got a delayed scenario. Nope. The phone's delayed.
Nope. We
gave him a 3-second handicap. He was still too good. Dan's just been outplayed, I think.
Someone was telling me recently, Nath, you need to find what you're good at in life. And if you find what you're good at in life, you can go anywhere. Someone was telling me that very valuable lesson recently.
You found confidence and arrogance?
No.
An abundance of it?
Do you want me to know who told me that?
Well, yeah.
Drop a name.
Kelly Slater told me that. Okay.
You are very good at that.
We'll continue. You are. This. You could have made a lot of money doing this.
It's taking me nowhere.
Here we go. Song at number six with the score at 5-0. Chief versus Dan. Everything I do.
Chief.
It. Dan. Yes. Brian Adams.
Brian Adams, yes. Good try, though, Dan. You're going all right, Dan.
I thought I had him. I had him there.
Not quite, Dan.
Famously from which movie?
Prince of Thieves, Robin Hood.
Robin
there
Hood.
You go. There's an extra point.
He's now got movies.
He's got the bonus
he's
point.
He's got soundtracks now.
He's 7 out of 6, the Chief.
That's
he's
the next one, soundtracks.
He's naming movies. Who played Robin Hood?
Kevin.
Now take 6. He's on.
Get on with it.
6-0.
Now,
here we go.
Bring it home, Chief. Clean slate here.
So, yeah, first clean slate. Song number 7, Bed of Roses.
Chief.
Yes.
Bon Jovi. Yeah.
Hang in there, Dan. Hang in there.
Here's some old school hip hop.
Well, that might be next week.
Hip hop.
Now, this is a tougher one.
Ballads.
This is a tougher one for the power ballads. Currently 7-0. How do I get you alone?
Chief.
Yes.
Hard.
There's no one better.
This is my favourite segment of all time radio I've ever heard or been involved in.
I like the power ballads too. They're all sing along, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great.
Song number 9. Keep on loving you.
Chief.
Yes.
REO Speedwagon.
Filming this so people know that he's not cheating. He's just sitting here looking into yonder.
Dan, we'll just get a tabulation of the results. What's the score currently?
It's 10 out of 9. As we sit at the moment.
So basically, Dan, if you get 11 from the next one, you will win. Are you ready?
Right. Yeah,
okay.
I'm ready.
Chief, going for the first clean sweep in the history of the competition, I will always love
Dan.
Chief.
Oh, you got
Dan.
Him.
Got him.
Dan.
He got him.
Dan got him.
Choir Boys.
No! Chief.
You got a chance. Oh, was it? Oh,
Whitney Houston.
Yes, it is.
So we give him
that? No, we're not giving it to him because he didn't get in first, but he wins 9-0. Dan, unfortunately, you don't get the Triple M Mystery Prize Pack. You must be in awe of what you've just heard, though.
Mate, it was a freak goal kicker and he's a freak music knowledge man.
Well, you're a good man, Dan. You're a good man.
Good on you, Dan. Well, stay on the line.
We have to go to Miff Warhurst we need someone who's got some.
Alan Bro and Miff Warhurst, they're freaks.
Stay absolutely on the line, Dan. Great.
That's where we're headed.
Used to love Spicks and Specks as a show.
We're building up to.
Tanners will sort you out some prizes. I'm not sure what you'll get after what he's been involved in lately, but you'll get some prizes from our man Tanners. Good on you, Dan. Appreciate you calling into the Friday Huddle. just for those that haven't heard the entirety of the show, major developments in Western Australia due to COVID-19. It's affecting the AFL as it will affect all parts of community.
Yeah, there's some nervousness around the community, and from an AFL perspective, it relates to the game tomorrow night, Fremantle North Melbourne at Optus Stadium. North flew into Perth today. An hour before they got there, the state was announced to be in lockdown from, or sorry, the Perth and Peel regions of the state are announced to be in lockdown from midnight tonight on the back of two cases of community transition of COVID-19. So the North Freo game will go ahead at Optus Stadium, but there will not be a crowd. West Coast is in Melbourne to play Geelong tomorrow in Geelong. That game will go ahead. There will be the capacity for a full crowd. And the AFL will make decisions inside the next 24 hours on the travel plans for those two teams that need to get home. North back to Melbourne and West Coast back to Perth. And obviously, Howie, when these things happen, as it stands, the lockdown starts as of midnight tonight. For 3 days, we just don't know how long it may be extended beyond that, if at all. But if it is, obviously the AFL will need to have contingencies as early as round six. There's a derby next Sunday week in Perth as scheduled. And given there were 100% capacity for a round four game, Collingwood and West Coast, that crowd, obviously, as we speak right now, is unknown for that big game of the year.
We'll get to that in a moment. Stevie J, legend of the Geelong Football Club, now heavily involved with the Giants, joins us on the line as we lead up to the big game, the Giants versus the Western Bulldogs. Mark Howard here. Jono, good evening to you. How are you, great man?
I'm well, thanks, boys. How are you?
Yeah, very good. You would have probably just heard Damo talking about the situation in the West, rapidly changing with COVID. What did you learn last year that you're trying to apply this year, mate, just with the changes that come your way as a professional sporting team these days? Because last year was obviously one out of the box, and from what Damo's telling us, you might have to face it again at some stage this season. Fingers crossed you don't.
Yeah, I guess you just got to adapt and roll with the punches. There's not too much control you can have over it, but just, you know, have in the back of your mind that you may have to be flexible with what's been happening over the last 12 months. So hopefully it doesn't get any worse, but certainly love to just stay at home as much as possible, but have to see what happens.
How are you enjoying the way the game's being played in 2021, Steve? It looks to the eye to be a little bit more attacking, a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah, I reckon it's the rule changes have been really good, Chief. I think certainly scoring's improved. I think you've seen the key forwards kicking more goals, and and that's great for the game. It's more excitement. And, you know, I don't think there's been too many blowouts throughout the year. The games have been really tight, which has been a good spectacle.
Now, Stevie, every time I'm calling a game and a player lines up and they bend it around, they're directly in front, 10 metres out, I credit you. So this is Stevie J who started this. Are you comfortable with that, Stevie? You think it was you that put that style of kick on the map? You think it's been a good legacy for you?
And keep calling it too, Duff. but no, I actually, I done it like early on in my career at Geelong, and Blake Caruselli came to me and said, I started that. I said, no way you did. He tried to take the credit for it, but I didn't sort of put that out there.
What about the blokes that are doing it from almost directly in front now, Stevie? I mean, they've just got no confidence in their ability to kick a drop punt.
No, I disagree, Chief. I think you're hitting the fatter part of the ball with more chance of kicking it through. Some players, I think, don't have the confidence to go back and have to spend 30 seconds lining up the goal. They're not always the kickers as what you were, and they probably just want to get it over and done with. But if you do practice the kick, you know, I think it's on percentage terms for the guys that can do it. It's a kick to take as much as possible.
Well, if it's a better kick, why don't we pass to players around the ground like that?
What's that? Sorry, the ground announcers.
If it's a better kick, why don't we pass to teammates on the field around the ground like that?
Because the ball's staying in the air for a little bit longer. So you have to kick up on the ball to kick a snap. Whereas a drop punt is a better field kick.
Nice reply to Chief there,
you
Stevie.
That's one goal. You kicked the footy that went to the goals, Chief, through the goals. You didn't kick around the ground, did you? Chief.
I hold Stevie responsible.
Hey, Stevie, the friction between these two teams playing tonight, you've sampled it close hand. You've also sampled it from afar. What's it do to you when it stirs the old competitive juices as you get closer? Obviously, you can't play a direct hand tonight, but do you like it when there's a bit of heat about a game upcoming?
Yeah, I love it. I love still, you still get the juices flowing a little bit, even though you can't go out there and have an impact on the field. But
Yeah, it's great that our club's got a rivalry at such a, you know, a young club. We've had the Swans last week, was a very big build-up, and we thought our boys performed well, and the Bulldogs has been growing over the last 4 or 5 years, so it's another good challenge for us, and, you know, it's a good weekend to bring out that spirit with Anzac Day weekend.
Stevie, you're several years into an assistant coaching career at the moment. Obviously, you'd like to be a senior coach. Is that something you want to push for sooner rather than later?
Oh, I don't think so, Brownie. I mean, it's something that I certainly think could be in the pipeline as I get more experience. But, you know, I'm still a very young coach and still trying to learn my trade. And I think that, you know, there has been some people go into the job too early. So I understand I've still got a lot to learn. And one day that may be something that I try and put my hand up for.
Stevie, it's an interesting discussion. From what you're watching from those around you, from those senior coaches, what do you reckon you need to improve to go to the next level as a coach?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of responsibility that comes with being a senior coach. And I think you spend a lot of time just adapting to a new job. You get given new roles. So I've taken over our ball movement this year. You just get more responsibility as you get older, and then I guess you've got to understand the amount of work that goes into the stuff away from the football club that the senior coaches have to do. So that would be something that, you know, I'd need to be comfortable with if I was going to put my hand up for a senior job, but that won't be in the near future.
So if you're talking about ball movement, just one more from me. When the rules came in over the off-season, did you picture in your mind the game that we're seeing played? Like, you guys have enough of an understanding of the game that think, right, these rules are going to add up to this style of play?
I probably thought that there may be more energised handballs where you take out the man on the mark. And we certainly practice that, but we haven't used it as much as what we thought we were going to. But it certainly opened up more 45-degree kicks, which obviously opens up the ground and you can get the ball inside 50 fairly quickly. So, as I said before, it's been a really good change and certainly helping generate higher scores.
Steve, I need to ask you, what is an energised handball?
It's just where you get a 2v1, so the man on the mark there, you're holding the ball, and you're a lateral handball to someone that can run past the man on the mark. Given they can't move, you can just give that 2 metre handball and run past and turn it into a 70 or 80 metre play.
I like it.
All right, Stevie, we appreciate you joining us on the Friday Huddle. Best of luck to you, Leon, and the entire Giants organisation tonight.
Thanks very much, boys. Hey, cheers.
Well done, Stevie.
Very nice. Are we going to see some blue style material tonight, Damo? Is there going to be a bit of fisticuffs and push and shove, or is there no room for it?
Given that the Giants tried it in the home and away game last year and it just didn't work, it fell really flat. Nick Haynes was sent to take the coin toss at an early stage of Stephen Cornelio's then fresh captaincy.
Darce announced their big news that was going to happen at the coin toss, didn't he? That's right.
Just another breaking story. How I went with on the Friday Huddle.
It was enormous at the time.
They then didn't give a yelp beyond that show, as in the Giants.
They didn't go after him in the final the year before that, though. They were very successful.
Yeah, and look, the origins of the restart to the feud was the Bontempelli hit on Nick Haynes late in 2019. The ramifications for that were played out in the next week, basically, when they played in the final. And Toby Green did what he did to Bontempelli. It certainly has set it up, but it didn't work last year when they tried the same thing.
The Bulldogs got slightly different personnel now, Howie, than they had previously. I think a bit more experienced, a bit more hardened bodies. They may be a little bit vulnerable back then in that final, but it's great. It's a new rivalry, and it's genuine.
Yep.
You know, the prelim final that was a very narrow win to the Bulldogs that may have been GWS, you know, even though they got in the grand final a couple of years later. It's like there's a genuine feeling between those clubs, and their supporters feel it as well.
What I like, you often get a rivalry like that, and this one's based on real heat, isn't it? Aggression, nastiness even, when it came to the Toby Green on Bontempelli thing. But both clubs, since that moment, have embraced it, haven't they, Darce? Even Luke Beveridge this week said, look, we expect it to come. We're going to be ready for it, and we'll do what we have to do as well. There's no shying away from it. And normally in this politically correct era, we sort of, as a footy club and an industry, back away from it, but it's almost a guarantee, isn't it?
Can happen when sides, you know, Brian Griffin went there as the captain of the Bulldogs and, you know, a bit of personnel swap as
Kick
well.
Kick break.
Callum Ward.
And Ream Hot Water, built tough for Aussie conditions with the latest technology when it comes to water heating. Installer Ream, Mark Howard, Damien Barrett, Nathan Brown. Jason Dunstall and Luke Darcy, who is about to go one-on-one with an absolute legend of the Footscray and Western Bulldogs Football Club, over 300 games now, heavily involved in the coaching panel there as they get set to take on the GWS tonight. I, of course, talk about Rowan Smith. G'day, Rowan. How are you going?
Hey, Howie. G'day, guys. How are you going?
Wonderful to speak to you. Now, Darcy, clear the
decks.
This up. Yes.
Clear the decks. I don't want any of you flogs talking. Okay. So, I mean, Brownie sort of moonlighted down there at the Bulldogs for a while, and then he took off for money to Richmond. And no, Smithy doesn't want to talk to Brownie. He doesn't want to talk to Chief. He certainly doesn't want to talk to Damo.
No.
I want to talk to Smithy because this is one of the great people you'll ever meet. He's a lovely human. Nothing like the idiots I have to work with, Smithy. How are you, mate?
Hey, Darcy. How you going, Leach?
300-game superstar, Smithy. Tell me about 5-0 start. Is it all you?
No, definitely not, mate. Definitely not. I think the boys have got a lot to play with it. Look, the boys have been sensational. I just think that the way that they prepared, especially over pre-season, they just got, you know, massive belief in themselves. And to be 5-0 is a fantastic effort for them.
Bit of aggro between the Giants and the Bulldogs. Are you expecting a bit of that tonight, Smithy?
Yeah, there will be, Darce, for sure. Like, I mean, yeah, it's a great rivalry that we've had for a really long time. You know, it probably stems from the early days when we were both really probably young teams and they tried to establish themselves into the AFL, but probably comes back to the 16 prelim. And, you know, we all think about, you know, that game, you know, often, and probably stems from that one. But there's been a little bit of a biff as well over the last couple of seasons. You know, the boys targeting Bont, et cetera, but... Now, the boys stood up really well last year and we'll move on from that.
Now, there's been some great friendships in AFL football before, but none quite like your friendship with Brad Johnson. At some point, now these guys would have, you had a tunnel between houses. Tell me, is that not true or have I made that up?
Darcy, that is 100% true. We had a 120-metre tunnel underneath our Williamstown houses. They actually both came out on each side of each other's bedroom. So Jono's side on in his bedroom to my side in my bedroom. We just had a little tunnel there for a little while.
Respective wives were genuinely concerned at one stage, Smithy. Because I've never seen two males in football closer than the two of you were at any stage. What was that, Nate?
Well, Darce, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry to cut you off, mate, but I reckon there's a little bromance that's happening at the moment that could overtake myself and Jono.
Who would that be?
Adam Treloar and Josh Dunkley.
Now, I have heard that. They've struck up an extraordinary friendship, though, haven't they?
Oh, mate. Seriously, mate. They are joined at the hip. Worse than Jono and I. They do everything together. They are inseparable at the moment, and they're playing great footy at the same time.
Well, Smithy, you know I could spend an hour and a half. I won't subject you to the idiots that I sit alongside on a Friday night, but a huge game tonight. A side that's 5-0, before I let you go, you make five changes.
He's still going.
Yep.
Why would that be the case?
Well, probably three, Darce, that we're probably going to make anyway with Steph Martin, Caleb Daniel and Leif Vandermeer probably, you know, missing last week. They're virtually automatic selections back in this week when they're available. But then also, too, you know, we're going to reward VFL form. St. Cordy and Jongi have been, you know, going some, you know, great guns and, you know, playing some really good footy and... Who's that?
Shut up, Chief. Mate.
This is an on-air. You've just discovered the cure for insomnia. It's you doing a one-on-one with Rowan Smith. This is real sleep-inducing stuff. What the hell's going on?
There will be
an audience spike.
See, I told you, Smitty. That's why
we Bulldogs are playing well, Rowan.
Oh, geez, you blokes are unbelievable, aren't you? Hey, you've had your time, Chief. Just sit back now.
Hey, did Duke ever punch you, Rowan? We're trying to find out all the players that he's punched.
I'll punch you in a minute, Chief. I'll tell you what. Smithy, I'll let you get back to the game. And that's why only reluctantly do we call you on the Friday. One of the all-time greats there, Howie. 300-game superstar. Good on you, Smithy.
Smithy, before we let you go, mate, I'd just like to apologise for leaving your jet ski on the bottom of Lake Epilock that time that we took it out. It wasn't my fault. It was Rob Murphy's fault. And we do owe you about 10 grand for that.
Yeah, it was true, that, Brenny. It actually cost me about 5 grand to fix. I still haven't seen that 5 grand yet, either. So I expect that in the mail this week, mate.
Good on you, Smithy. Have a great night. Appreciate your time.
All right. See you, boys. See you later. See ya.
Now, Smitty did a magnificent job, but you were coming with something exclusive, and you've just rolled out a sort of 1997 ABC-style one-on-one.
Is that your first one-on-one since the weapon?
It had nothing in it.
Chief, that's your first one-on-one since the weapon.
Is this really on air?
I don't know what
that
was.
Don't understand.
This has gone to air.
You let Smitty down there.
Surrounded by clickbait just idiots.
You let Smitty down.
Just when you get a bit of charm and you get a bit of warmth, great people, you just treat them with a bit of respect. And you know, Damo's taking notes going, how do you get that sort of rapport going? How do you actually, it's the thing called friendship.
I think you brought Rowan down with you then, Darcy.
When you start an interview and you go with the old Dorothy Dixer, you asked six in a row and that was the end of the chat.
Mate, the audience loved it. People out there love it. I think this might be a regular.
Chief's going to reconsider his decision to resume working on the Friday show.
One-on-one with another Bulldogs great. We might turn this into a regular segment.
The judge's first attempt last year was better than that.
I don't even know what this. What are we doing? Are we on air?
He didn't even know who he was interviewing.
He couldn't talk.
Yeah, he's a star, Rowan Smith.
What a ripper. That was a magical moment of radio.
I have to be honest with you, Howie. Yeah. As team skipper, I need to talk to you about this because if that becomes a regular feature, I will become an irregular feature on this Friday night.
And you know what? That may be a positive. The Twitter feedback's lighting up.
Two Leroy big boys are really starting to clash in here, the Chief and the Duke.
Damo, you're the voice of reason. If push comes to shove, who are you voting for? Keep Chief or keep Darce?
Ship off, Chief.
Who are you going for, Damo?
Would you rather those run-of-the-mill, straight up and down, line and length interviews or a little bit of looseness?
I go way back with Chief. I think Chief's been a good addition to us.
So you're going Chief? What about you, Brownie?
Fair enough.
Chief or Darce?
I'm not choosing, Howard. I'm not choosing. I love them both.
They're both on the wall, Brownie.
I hang out with Darce at Christmas. We have a Bulldogs and I play tennis with the Chief. I can't split them.
Okay, that was brought to you.
They're both on the wall. Who are you taking?
Oh, I grew up as a Hawthorn supporter. I idolise the man.
See you, Darce.
Darce's not going to look him for what I'm saying.
Leroy.
He's nowhere near it.
Leroy is a tiebreaker. Leroy's too many.
We'll get snorkeling.
I'll be happy to leave.
That was brought to you by Bob Jane Team Arts. Great tyre and wheel deals for safer driving. Visit bobjane.com.au. Our man Nath always comes in. We've got a few minutes here before we get moving on with the show. Always comes in very up about crypto. And I always say, how's the cryptos this week? And I noticed as he walked in, he was dragging his lower lip on the ground.
Nate, give us a
crypto update for
it's
the
fair to say it's been
portfolio.
A good run since August, Howard. Yes. It's just gone up and up and up and to the point of about 480%. So you expect it to keep going up. Sunday I went to the football and I drove from the Sunday footy show to you. And while I was calling the football, there was just these massive red candles coming down on my phone. I'm trying to watch it, trying to call the game, and it was just a bloodbath. And it has been the best part of 72 hours. I've watched all this money just drain out of my crypto account. It's not actually in my account. It's in crypto, as you know.
Yes.
But it hasn't been great. But the great term in crypto is HODL, H-O-D-L, where one young man in one of the original chat groups of crypto tried to write hold, and he said at one of these bloodbaths, hold, but it's now become synonymous with crypto that he spelt it the wrong way, H-O-D-L. Now we HODL, Howard, and that is what we're doing at the moment, and it will bounce back.
Have you told Christina?
Absolutely not. She thinks I put about 5,000 in it like 3 years ago. She's got no idea. But the end result will be healthy, Howard.
So this is on the back of Joe Biden, the US president, saying that he's going to tax it at 43%. Is that the
46%, I think, for capital gains tax, which we've had in this country for a long, long, long time. So the market has gone haywire, Howard, and set a couple of stop losses, a few hits, so happy with that. And now just you got to buy the dip.
You don't see this, Howie, buy the dip. Because you're in the front row when you call the games. Brownie being the special comes up the back. His phone is open on the fluctuations of the stock exchange.
No, it's funny you say that, Damo, because he was calling with me on Sunday and he paid less attention to the game than Wayne Schwoss in his heyday, who was the king of Instagram when he was calling.
Sorry, Marcus Swatter.
Had no unbelievable ability to send posts on Instagram while he was calling. Well, Nate
could be crypto or he could. Like, what was he watching last year? An iguana getting eaten by a crocodile or something?
No, it was a monkey, wasn't it? We're in the entertainment business. We are in the entertainment business.
Not to entertain yourself, Nate.
Your interview with Rowan Smith.
Did Duck miss a goal as a special comms recently as well?
Yes. Duck tends to wander off any time after the 7 minute mark.
Duck doesn't bring a pen in. Like, doesn't bring anything. No notes. No nothing. Not even a pen to write something down. Duck just goes, "I'm the greatest player that ever played. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to give whatever comes into my head at any given point."
Chief, you used to host that show with Duck back in the day, and it was a long session of 3 or 4 hours.
Saturday Central.
What was Duck's preparation like for that?
Well, we used to watch a match and then get together at the end. He'd go home and have a nap, or he'd go to the pub with his mates and then come back and say, oh, yeah, didn't really watch it, but I'll fudge it.
Brownie reckons he just turns out without a pen and say, I'm the greatest player of all time. Doesn't matter.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.